now. Congressman Graves, welcome back. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing great. Great, Brian. How about you?
Doing very well as well. Do we want to start in D.C. or do we want to start in our own backyard with a press release that your office put out earlier in the week? The congressional maps that are making their way through our state's legislative process.
Sure, yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah, this is this is more creative than Spielberg with less discipline than Jackson Pollock. I look at this map and I'm okay. If you combine the idea of the congressional map that's coming out of SB 8, if you combine that idea with closed primaries, we are very seriously looking at the possibility of primarying the Speaker of the House. Like, there is a very real scenario where that can happen with this new map.
It absolutely is a real scenario. I don't think these maps were really thought out. You have very clear principles that the law requires you have to follow in putting maps like this together, and I don't think anyone gave even remote consideration to those things. Look, the outcome of the map is that, number one, the entire Capital Region's clout is diluted because you draw a district from Baton Rouge and Ascension Parish up to the Shreveport area. You have a second district that goes from the Livingston Parish, Ascension Parish, East Baton Rouge Parish area up to Monroe. You have a third district that goes down toward New Orleans. I mean, like it splits it all up into pieces. You have a fourth district that, a fourth district goes on down to Plaquemines Parish in the southeast Louisiana. I mean, just completely diluting the power of the Capital Region, which is, you know, obviously one of the most populated areas of the state. Really, really important that we have somebody who's singularly focused on the needs in the Capital Region. That's how you get a new bridge crossing the Mississippi River. That's how you ensure that important flood control projects are prioritized and completed. So some of the most important needs of our region would be ignored as a result of this flawed map. And then the other thing it does is it really puts Troy Connor's district, the district that goes from New Orleans up the river to Baton Rouge, it puts that district in jeopardy, in that it dilutes the minority representation there. So it really is a baffling map, and it doesn't make much sense at all for the best interest of the Capital Region. I mean, look, keep in mind, you want to look at this from a football perspective. It goes from Arkansas to LSU, Texas to Thibodeau, Baton Rouge to Barksdale, and Gonzales to Chalmette. Like, just come on. It doesn't pass the laugh test.
Why is it that Gonzales to Chalmette makes the least amount of sense of all of this?
Hey, don't knock Chalmatians. Those people are some impressive folks.
Oh, no. Very, but, look, Rocco comes in once a month. We love us some Chalmatians around here. The parish comes by once a month. So there was something else in the press release that I really wanted you to address. And that is that, oh man, where did it go? It had to do with the testing of the current map to see if it met the scrutiny or not. Why does this not go past Judge Shelley Dick to a higher court?
Well, so you've got a few considerations. You know, I'll say it again, Brian. This has been the law, the case law, everything involved here has been tried and tried and tried. And so you have pretty clear criteria, things like you have to take communities of interest into consideration. You know, what does Gonzales and Monroe, what does Baton Rouge and Monroe, what does Denham Springs and Monroe have in common? Approximately nothing. And so you have to take that into consideration. You have to take sort of compactness into consideration, not the long, skinny district that goes from Baton Rouge up to Caddo, the Shreveport area.
Right.
That's not a compact district. That's entirely gerrymandered. You have to take racial considerations. You have to take those into account as well. And so this map, it first of all, on the racial side, it's actually gerrymandered in a way that I think crosses bounds into illegal, inappropriate map drawing. Number two, the communities of interest. You know, I'll say it again. You know, you can go through those towns that I connected, everything from Ellenshue to Arkansas, Texas to Thibodeau, Baton Rouge to Barksdale. Like you lose your communities of interest there, and it makes it very difficult for a member of Congress to be able to prioritize if your district is so drawn out over these areas that have no relationship. You know, and I'll give you an example. The district that we represent right now, if we focus on traffic and transportation solutions, if we focus on coastal restoration, flood control projects, hurricane protection, those are common interests that are among the folks that we represent. A lot of the industries and businesses along the river, if we focus on crime and insurance and education, those are all common things. But when you start drawing some of these lines that are proposed in this map, it doesn't pass even the laugh test, much less the legal scrutiny that's required.
We're talking with Congressman Garrett Graves. This is DC Current presented by LABI. And yeah, the very first thing I noticed, regardless of the ridiculousness of all the shapes and sizes and angles of the different districts, the very first thing I noticed was that the 6th would no longer cover anything on the coast. And I was like, wow, okay, the guy who's representing the 6th right now knows a thing or two about the coast and doesn't get a square inch of it.
Yeah, and that is you know, that's something that's personal. But Brian,
I
want to separate this though. Look, these maps shouldn't be about incumbent protection. So if you know a map is drawn that ultimately, you know, doesn't fit you know, sort of me or where we live or what have you, that's fine. That's fine, because I don't need to be the priority. Steve Scalise, Mike Johnson, Julia Ledlow, Troy Carter, Cliggins, they don't need to be the priority. We don't need to draw incumbent protection maps. What we need to do is we need to think about the best interest of voters, the best interest of citizens in Louisiana, and how we can accomplish some of the highest priorities of these regions. And how you draw these maps very much affects that. So let me say it again. Look, I'll be fine, all right? I'll be fine. But what is most important is that you stay focused on the best interest of the regions, of the citizens, in terms of how those folks can be best represented and get their top priorities actually accomplished. And look, Brian, you and I have talked about some of the projects and issues. My gosh, people have been talking about the Comeet project since 82, the West Shore project in the River Region since 71 or 70, a new bridge crossing the Mississippi River since the late 70s. I mean, you know, two out of three of those we've actually gotten accomplished. The third one, the bridge, we're making progress right now. But you will never, ever, ever get these things fixed if you start coming in and diluting and drawing these wild shapes and sizes all over, because you're not going to have a member of Congress that will be able to focus and properly prioritize the needs of the district. It really is important, the compactness and the communities of interest and how those are taken into consideration.
Could we back our way into something really more beneficial? And when I say back our way into it, is it possible that what we're looking at right now, by not having a map that makes sense, is it possible that we're pointing out a flaw that needs changing in the Voting Rights Act?
In this case, I don't think it's a flaw in the Voting Rights Act necessarily. I think what you're seeing is you're seeing major flaws in how this map is drawn. Now look, could you come in and perfect how all these maps are done? Absolutely, you could, and I think we ought to continue striving for perfection. But one of the things that really struck me was hearing people testifying on this proposed map and talking about, oh, we're doing this to protect, you know, Steve Scalise or Mike Johnson or Troy Carter. No, that's not what this is about. This isn't about protecting an incumbent politician. This is about what is in the best interest of the communities. And this map couldn't be farther from the best interest of the communities around the state by the way that it draws these odd shapes and sizes and dilutes and really confuses the priorities of these of this of these congressional districts if this were to actually be approved by the courts, which I don't think there's a chance in the world it will.
We've got Congressman Graves with us for about 3.5 more minutes. I could stay on this all day long, Congressman, but we got to pivot a little bit to talk about business up in D.C. Are we about to run out of money and shut down again?
We are aggressively headed in that direction right now. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion, and I don't think that it's the right path. Right now, what's going on is that Speaker Mike Johnson has proposed doing another temporary extension of funding for agencies. One deadline would be March 1st. The other would be March 8th. I'm open to the idea of doing another temporary extension, but just like last time, Brian, you can't do these little kick the can down the road scenarios unless you combined it with a plan, you couple it with a plan to say, okay, this is how we're ultimately going to get long-term funding done or the rest of the fiscal year done, including efforts to secure the southern border, including efforts to do a debt commission to ultimately bring down and resolve the $34 trillion in national debt that we have. Until and unless you combine it with a plan to address our energy crisis, to address crime and insurance issues and other things that I know the state is trying to work on as well. So you can't just go out there and just say, we don't want government to shut down, so we're going to extend it another few weeks. You've got to have a strategy or a plan that is compatible to demonstrate how this is part of a larger effort to ultimately get to the end zone of, again, border security, getting the debt paid down, and reversing this awful trend of spiraling debt, getting inflation under control, and some of the other priorities that we've clearly articulated.
I feel like the entire nation is being run off of a payday loan.
It's a great analogy because, you know, Brian, you and I talked months ago. I threw out this figure, and I remember you were shocked by it. We're going to spend $10 trillion just in interest payments over the next 10 years on that debt. $10 trillion. I mean, we're fighting to try and get $2 billion for a new bridge to cross the river, and we're going to flush $10 trillion down the toilet on interest payments with the total number of the national debt continuing to just increase at record rates. This is unsustainable, and what it's doing to our children and grandchildren is completely irresponsible and unfair.
It's a VIG that would make Tony Soprano blush. He's Congressman Garrett Graves. I already got my Garrett Graves socks packed. We'll see you next week up in D.C.
Good deal. Look forward to it. Thanks, Mark.